Well, it's a happy Friday to everyone except for Peloton. Shares down over 34% after they reported earnings there. Obviously, there's a lot to unpack there with weaker bike demand. So for more on this, let's bring in Jason Helfstein, Oppenheimer Managing Director and Senior Analyst, who's been watching the stock. And Jason, not a pleasant day at all for Peloton. You actually lowered your price target over at Oppenheimer on Peloton to $85, was previously $140. Explain to us exactly what you saw in their earnings and in their results that warranted such a downgrade.
Yeah, so look, the market disproportionately probably focused on two things. One, the lower revenue outlook for the year, and then ultimately the lower profit and lower kind of gross profit outlook. We can kind of unpack that why we didn't downgrade the stock is that they only cut sub-guidance 6%. And to us, the value is in the subscription, the monthly subscription price, and the margin they can drive on that. And so I think really we called out two questions that I think the company is going to need to talk about over the next kind of few weeks and months as they try to kind of rebuild shareholder support is one, is the addressable market what they thought at the current pricing? And do they need to lower the bike price? Because historically, most subscription businesses lose money on the customer acquisition, but you make it back over the length of the subscription. And Peloton was actually making money, right, kind of in period when they sold the bike after marketing costs, which is highly unusual in typically in subscription and why they historically had gotten such a high valuation or high multiple. And so look, to the extent that that might not be sustainable and maybe they do need to lower the price of the bike, we think that's fine as long as the churn rate or the repeat rate stays high. I think the second question is, it did look like they kind of overspent / overexpanded on warehousing, logistics, and support to provide a premium experience, and they probably overdid it. And, the question is, can they rein in some of those fixed costs but still provide a premium experience?
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point here, which is that it's not like this company is not going to be profitable, right? They have the subscriptions going, and whoever's been onboarded to a Peloton is not going to all of a sudden get rid of their Peloton. If they've been onboarded, they're onboarded, right? So does that mean that the repricing that we're seeing here, especially in the market action today, is just resetting the expectations for this as a growth stock when it comes to their future potential? Is this kind of in the shape that it is what the Peloton we should expect to see in the next 5 to 7 years?
So, look, I don't think anybody's doubting the demand for virtual fitness. Clearly, the company, had massive wind at their back due to COVID. Forecasting their business is hard, right? So, like, at the end of the day, how much pull forward was there, right? You know, there was definitely some brand reputation damage with the treadmill and, the unfortunate kind of incidents there. The question is like, is their new guidance right? Right. If at the end of the day, they hit their sub guidance and it's only 6% lower, the stock is going to go meaningfully higher. Do they have to guide down again? To your question, if you look at subscription, this fiscal year, which basically will, just ended, they made almost $600 million in subscription contribution profit. We think next year it'll be, next fiscal year over basically $1 billion, and the year after $1.5 billion. And so the question is, can they kind of, what are the costs against that ultimately the company generates like a consolidated profit, which is clearly being pushed out? Why we continue to stay outperform is right now the company is trading at a comparable multiple on kind of next calendar year's gross profit as Spotify. And we ultimately think that Peloton has a bigger moat and a more durable competitive advantage than Spotify does. And so that's kind of, we think the market is now already pricing in kind of the near-term risk.
In the overall fitness space, is there a secular story here with people who maybe they were completely unplugged from the tread recall that they had and they just are deciding to go back to the gym, whether that's Crunch or whether or not that's their neighborhood gym, and deciding not to get a Peloton or to give up their Peloton? Are you seeing that as a driver behind what's also happening here, or is this management and a kind of idiosyncratic story, just the Peloton?
Yeah, I mean, so right now we're not seeing churn go up any meaningful amount. So it doesn't seem like people are canceling and then, selling, right? So the existing subscribers, do not seem to be the issue. Look, you know, at the margin, you know, is gym reopenings with really attractive inducements to rejoin gyms and, you know, no initiation fee, things like that. Could that be having an impact? Possible. We did have a bit warmer weather kind of to start the fall. Could that have an impact? Possible. Look, I also think, again, the stock was exacerbated. I think, you know, there are folks who kind of track near-term data, and I think there was an expectation that there was a stronger start to the December quarter, and yet that just didn't kind of follow through in the full-year guidance. So, look, a lot of unknowns. That being said, I think, you know, what they have is a unique experience. I think the market for it is substantial. It's global. And, you know, the company just needs to work through basically growing pains.
Last question here. I'm going to feed it to you straight from your note. You asked the question, does Peloton need to keep lowering the price of equipment to drive subscription sales? Do you think they do? Do you think that's going to happen?
I mean, it's my guess. I mean, you know, look, whether you figure out how to, you know, extend the, you know, the payment terms. So, you know, for longer. So, you know, you're still, maybe it's the same price bike, but you extend it to maybe a 4-year payment term and bring the subscription price lower. Look, I mean, clearly the game here is copy Apple. They're kind of the masters at this, how they kind of made iPhones more affordable with monthly subscriptions and kind of trade-ins and things like that. So look, my gut is that they do. For now, you're just seeing more consumers choosing the regular bike versus the bike plus. The regular bike costs less. But at the end of the day, I think that's fine. You know, again, I think if churn stays low, if they can get, you know, those costs that we talked about, the warehousing, logistics, and support under control, they will have the ability to kind of lower the price, which, by the way, will keep competitors at bay. I believe that the reason you saw kind of competitors kind of thrive is when Peloton was a 10-week, you know, 8 or 10-week delay, you had consumers may have opted for other companies, but to the extent that Peloton can narrow the price of their bike versus competitor bikes, and you can still get the bike in 2 to 3 weeks, we think kind of Peloton wins hands down.
All right, Jason Helfstein, Oppenheimer Managing Director and Senior Analyst. We'll keep an eye on Peloton, still down about 34% in the quarters to come. Thanks again.